Let us read together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. And may God bless the reading of His Word this morning for our understanding and for our teaching as we come together. You know, last week we talked about what matters most in healthy relationships. We talked about true love. Well, we talked about how to develop a true love, that kind of love. God, who is love, He tells us how to have true love. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, which I found from Scripture is a definition of true love. Love is kind. Love is patient. Isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly, and it's not provoked. In other words, love is kind and patient and forgiving. That's what we looked at last week. Well, today we're going to continue in the series, and we're going to talk about understanding each other. Now, I think this message this morning is going to be directed more toward the men, and they need to pay attention maybe a little more than the women in this message that I have today. But you're not going to be free of this, because next week I may give more attention to the women than I do the men. But today, as we look at this, you're going to find that often men will ask, what in the world is a woman looking for in a man? And I know I say, you got me, you know, I don't know. Men say women are too complicated, that she doesn't really know what she wants, so how in the world am I supposed to know what she wants? Women are different from men. Duh. You know, a woman's brain works different from a man's brain. Men, most notably, now not always, but most notably, men are left-brained thinkers, and women, most notably, but not always, are right-brained thinkers. Men decide things because in his head it makes sense. He thinks it is right. Now, women, they decide because in her heart, it feels right. She senses that it's right. Now, one way is not right and one way is wrong. One is not better or worse, the way the men and women make decisions a lot of times. They're just different. That's all. And this difference can enhance a relationship. Or it can cause severe conflict. It all depends on how much you understand the difference and you make sense of how that difference is there. The Bible, let me ask you this first. How many of you have differences or conflicts with someone else? And understanding and cooperating and doing things together? Vonda, what about you and I? But let me tell you this. The Bible tells us very blunt about this difference. The Bible says conflict is caused by selfishness. In James 4:1, it says, do you know where your fights and your arguments come from? They come from selfish desires that war within you. I want what I want, and I'm basically a selfish person, the Bible is telling me. I think of me before I think of anybody else or before another significant person. In other words, I think you do that too. I want what I want, and you want what you want, and when those competing desires collide, that's called conflict. Every relationship has differences. And if you don't know how to deal with it, if you don't know how to manage it, you can kill that relationship. You can kill that interaction that you have with another person. Growing up, you learn one of five ways to deal with differences or conflicts. Now here, I'm going to very quickly give you five sketches of five ways that you probably deal with other people and deal with conflict. The first way, some of you are my way resolvers. When you get into a conflict, this is the way you resolve it. My way. My way means I fight until I win and you give in. I'm going to get it my way. I am totally right. You are totally wrong. My way is the only way, and I will assert myself and my will until you finally yield and you finally give up. Now, some of you, that's the only way you know how to resolve conflict, that you have to win every time. Now, others of you may be no way people. In other words, there's no way you're going to get into a fight with another person. I will back away from that conflict. I will not confront you. I will withdraw. I will pull back. I will ignore the even that we have a problem. My rule is avoid conflict at all costs. Now, that keeps the conflict or the relationship calm. But you never resolve anything. You're never fulfilled with anything. You're never happy about anything. The third way is your way. Some of you are your way resolvers. That means I always give in. I always give in to you. I want your approval so badly that I will roll over and I will play dead. I will become a doormat just so that you know that I want you to accept me, even though that's not what I want. This produces a lot of bitterness inside that person because they will give in, but they resent it the whole time. They're always, the other person is the winner in the conflict. Here's a fourth way, and it's the halfway. That's where we compromise. In other words, we win some and we lose some. I give in sometimes, you give in sometimes. And it's certainly better than some of the others that I've already mentioned, but here's the better way. It is called our way. Our way is when we work out mutual goals together, where we can care about the relationship more than we care about any single issue. In other words, the issue doesn't become the thing that you try to resolve. What you're resolving is the engagement you have with the other person. We value our differences and our relationship more than the things we tend to fight over. That's our way. Now, some of you in probably some kind of pain right now, you're frustrated in your relationship. You feel bad about a relationship because you've argued about certain issues over and over and for several years, and there's been no resolution. It's still there. You don't know what to do. Now, I'm here to tell you what to do. I'm here to tell you what God says to do, not what Jerry says to do, but what God says to do. You know, in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians 14:1, after the love chapter, where we looked at last week, where it tells what true love is, God says this: let love be your greatest aim. Not your status, not your success, not your possessions, not your power, not your privilege, not your prestige, not your comfort, not your money, not anything. God says You should make as the number one lifestyle love. That should be your aim. And why does God say that? Why does God say, make love your highest aim? Why? Because God is love. And He wants you to be like Him. The Bible tells us that God created everything in the universe out of His love. God created all there is, and every time when He rested at the end of the day, and He said, it is good. God created it out of love. Why? Because God is love. Now, the Bible doesn't say that God has love. It says God is love. He created you as an object of His love. And God wants you to be like Him. So He created you to learn how to love. Do you hear that? God created you so that you could learn how to love. To learn how to love is to understand that men and women are different, and that is the way that God created them. To learn how to love, the Bible teaches us, is that love is a choice. It doesn't sound very romantic, does it? Love is a choice, and it's a commitment. You choose to love or you choose not to love. It's a choice. You can't force somebody to fall in love with you. You can't force them to stay in love with you. Why? Because love is a choice. And that's true in all relationships. God won't force you to love Him, because love can't be forced. Love is a choice. Either you have chosen or not chosen to love God. Either you have chosen to commit yourself or not commit yourself to God. And it's the same with everything else. I choose to love you and commit myself to you, or I choose not to. When people say, I just don't love her anymore, when I've talked to people in counseling sessions and in situations like that, it's as if you don't have a choice. No, and that's not true. Own up to the truth. You're choosing not to love her anymore. Love is a choice. And you can choose to love anybody. And you can choose not to love anybody. But it is a choice. If I choose to love you, I will not just look at my own viewpoint or my own situation or my own selfish desires or wants. But I have to look at your viewpoint and your desires and your needs. And this is very difficult to do among us because it's not natural. It's not natural for me to look at life from your viewpoint. I have to do something to make that intentional. If I only look at myself and only want my desires and only look at my selfish needs, I never look at what you need. I never care about what you need. It is not natural for me to look at your needs. So I have to stop, and I have to think, and I have to look at your viewpoint. And this requires an intentional shift where I have to change the focus from looking at my needs to looking at yours. And I can't do that alone. It takes God's help to do that. It is a mental shift that we don't do naturally. But it's the secret of understanding differences and resolving conflict. Now, men, what I'm about to say could get me in some trouble with some of you. It could get me in trouble with Vonda when she reminds me of what I'm about to say. Women want you prove your love in some tangible way. love has to be demonstrated in some small way every day. If you hear nothing else to me in this message, hear this. You have to demonstrate in some small way to a woman every day what love is from you to them. It might be a note on a table saying, I miss you. It might be a smile when you meet after being apart for a while, which says, I'm glad to see you. It might be a flower that says that you are special to me. It might be an invitation out to a night for dinner because you deserve that time out. It might be that you embrace to reconnect after being apart. Did you know that a woman needs to be held and embraced in a non-sexual way 3 times a day to feel close to her partner? Men, how well are we doing that? People need to be touched to survive. Did you know you need to be touched to live? There is a study that was done with children in an orphanage where they took these babies and they fed them and changed them, but otherwise they didn't have any other touch or any other interaction with these children. And there were high mortality deaths rates. Many of them died. And then in another experiment in an orphanage in Mexico where babies were assigned a mama, each baby was assigned a person, a mama, who held them and rocked them and caressed them many hours through the day, and those babies flourished. The mortality rate was very low. They thrived. Humans need to be touched to live. And that doesn't mean just babies. Men, women need to be touched to show an embrace for their well-being. A woman needs romantic gifts to prove your love. A gift says, you are worthwhile. No gift says, you are worthless. Now, this is not necessarily logical. A man doesn't think that way. On his side of the brain, he doesn't see why it's necessary. But on her side of the brain, it's an emotional thing. Women need to be proved your love emotionally because that's the way they're wired. It's right versus left brain understanding. Gift is a demonstration of love. Proving your love always requires men to do something. It requires time and effort and energy. It's a way of making her feel special. It's a way of making her feel important. It's a way of making her feel loved. It's a phone call simply for no reason other than to say, I'm thinking about you. Now, the secret of overcoming conflict is understanding where people come from. Men, it's understanding where women are coming from. When you understand where people are coming from, when you understand male and female differences, you learn how to love them. And loving is a process of learning. You learn to love. How do you learn to understand a woman? You listen. Listen more than you talk. This, again, is not easy for many of us. We naturally like to state our position or our thoughts or where we're coming from. Our natural ability is to talk and to look important and sound important and act like and pretend we know something. You know, this again is not easy for us. Some of us get anxious to make our point, to tell our side, to defend ourselves that we don't even stop to listen to what the other person is saying or even consider what they're saying from their point of view. God has wired men and women differently. We see life differently. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's simply a matter of perspective. Love is more than attraction. It's more than arousal. It's more than sentimentality. Love is an action. It's something you do. Love is a behavior. Now, love can cause emotion. In fact, it causes the strongest emotion in human beings. But love is not just emotion. In the first place in the Bible, over and over, we are commanded by God to love each other. And you cannot command an emotion. If I told you right now, I want you to be sad, can you just turn it on and be sad? Well, you might fake it. You might turn your mouth down or something, look sour or something. If I told you to be happy right now, you can't just be happy. You can't command an emotion and it just happens. Emotions are uncontrollable. If love were an emotion, then God wouldn't command us to love one another. God wouldn't command us for men and women to love each other. But love is something you do. It produces emotion, but it's an action. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 3:18, it says, let us love not with words or tongue. And in other words, the Scripture is saying, don't just talk about it. But, the Scripture says, with action and in truth. You know, you can talk a good talk. You could say, I love people. Do you really love them? Remember a couple weeks ago when Jesus was standing with Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, well, then go feed my sheep. And he kept asking Peter, he kept asking, do you love me? And he kept saying, well, then go and do something if you do love me. We can talk that we love people, but love is going to have action. Do you really love them? Do you really demonstrate that? It's like the girlfriend who said of her boyfriend, she said, he's always saying, honey, I'd die for you. And she came back at him and she said, you always say you will, but you never do. Now, I don't think you should go to that extreme about that. But love is something that you do. Let me say a couple of things about love in action. Actually, acting in love when you don't feel it is the highest form of love. It's actually a more mature love when you act loving toward a person when they are not acting loving toward you, when you don't feel like loving them. It's easy to love somebody who loves you. That's nothing. It takes nothing at all. But real love acts and does the loving thing when you don't deserve it. And when they don't respond. And when you don't feel like it. Love is something you do. And it's a skill that can be learned. Okay, men. I'm going to get into a little more trouble saying this. Women want you to prove your love by verbalizing it every day. A woman wants to be noticed and complimented. We men are oblivious to this a lot of times. Noticing a woman makes her feel loved, as if she matters to you. She needs to be complimented every day on her appearance, or something she does, or who she is. Now, if you didn't grow up getting strokes from other people saying things like that to you, it's hard for you to learn how to give those same kind of things back to other people. But we need to learn to do that. We need to learn to compliment someone every day about something good about them. You know, the biggest reason for depression in women is low self-esteem. She needs to feel important and beautiful and special and significant and needed. How will she know this unless you let her know that? How will she know that unless you give feedback? In other words, it's not a matter of something rational. That's the reason women are wired different in their brain. They need this emotionally. They need to sense this. They need to understand that, and they do that when we give that to them. We all want to matter in some good way, or to be fulfilled as important in some good way. But a person will go looking for that kind of thing, even in a bad way, if they don't get it any way at all. A lot of times in counseling, I find that one of the reasons a spouse has left to go seek another is because when they don't get those kind of needs, they will even do it in the wrong way, in a bad way, and go somewhere to get it, even in a bad way. They would rather have it in a bad way than have it in no way at all. A woman needs to hear that she is loved. Let me put this out. At least 3 times a day. 3 little magical words. I love you. To give and take is what makes a relationship so rewarding. To give love and to be loved are the most precious gifts that life has to offer. You have to make a conscious decision to love. A conscious decision to love that makes another person feel good. It may not be important to you, and you may not see any reason for it. Or it may be difficult for you to say those words or to act that way. But the woman in your life needs to hear those words. And if such a simple requirement is denied, then she thinks, what's the use? What's its worth? Why do I want to spend the rest of my life with someone who makes me feel so empty? Who doesn't care about me, and who doesn't want to be with me. We need to write love letters and tell that person how much she means. Praise her in front of someone else. That's how lucky you are to have her. You need to prove your love with something tangible. You need to call her for no reason. Every day, just to say, I love you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be more loving. I personally want to be a more loving person. And there's a lot of areas that I need to work on in my life. And one day, I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to say to me, did you do the 2 things that were most important of all? Did you learn to love me with all your heart? And did you learn to love those others that I put in your life? I want to be ready for that day. I want to be able to say, God, I listened to your voice, and I learned. And I understand. And I love. Amen. Pray with me. Loving God, I thank you so much for your word that teaches us how to love. I thank you, God, that you are love and that you want us to love one another. And God, I just want to surrender my heart and life that you may mold me into the kind of person that can demonstrate that love can share that love, can speak that love, so that I will be what you have created me to be, your child, your gift, and a gift to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to join me as we stand together.